Hello, St. Georgians near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, on day 131 of our year of the Bible, with a big chunk of the second book of Chronicles, chapters 12 through 16. We have gotten through Saul and David and Solomon, and then we have Rehoboam as the king of Judah there in the south. Rehoboam made a bad choice, and so Jeroboam led the north away. Because Rehoboam and the south had been unfaithful to the Lord, and Chronicles says it right out there. Chronicles is very focused on, like, things are fair. Like, things are fair. When you read about some of the same events in Kings, there are times when the book of Kings leaves things a little bit more mysterious, right? I mean, you know, when we look at history, we why did that happen? You know, why do bad things happen to good people? Why did that happen? Why did that happen in this way? And I think most of us are usually, it will say, you know, the ways of God are inscrutable. One of the things I think about a lot is, you know, one day when the scrolls of history are opened, like in Revelation, they tell us, then we'll see why all the things were as they have been. Up until then, it's going to be unscrutable in the realm of mystery. Not for the chronicler, not for the person writing Chronicles. For him, things are much more, A leads to B, leads to C. And so in verse 2 of chapter 12, because they had been unfaithful to the Lord, comma, Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem. So the attack of the king of Egypt was directly a result of the unfaithfulness of the Judahites there. And he captured the fortified cities of Judah and came as far as Jerusalem. Remember, Rehoboam was just building the fortified cities in the last chapter. And I had said something along the lines of the prophet had told Rehoboam not to go declare war and go to war against the people in the north. And I said, well, I wonder if maybe that was because, you know, then they could be prepared for the Egyptians. And I think that that's probably true, but not in the way that I first imagined. If they had been at war in the north when the Egyptians attacked, they might have been able to say, ah, well, we were engaged up in the north, and so we didn't have our south flank covered. But here, they did. They did have it covered. They were not distracted by another war, but they lost anyway. And why they lose anyway? Because they had been unfaithful. So, what is impressive about Rehoboam and the leaders of Judah at that point is the prophet comes to them and says, look, this is why this happened. You abandoned me, I abandon you, right? So you abandoned me, Judah, so I abandon you. I abandon you to Shishak, the king of Egypt. And verse 7, God bless them, when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord said to the prophet, since they have humbled themselves, I will not destroy them, but I will give them deliverance. Again, things are fair. Things make sense. But also, God is incredibly merciful. Given the slightest indication of repentance, he relents. Because Rehoboam humbled himself, the Lord's anger turned from him and he was not totally destroyed. And then the second half of verse 12 there, chapter 12, verse 12, indeed, there was some good in Judah. There is some good in Judah. Well, that's good. Rehoboam, however, nonetheless, does not cover himself with glory. Verse 14 says he did evil because he had not set his heart on seeking the Lord. Now, he was followed by Abijah. Abijah did get into a fight with, did get into a war with Jeroboam up in the north. That gives us the news, if we had not heard it before, maybe we had, but it was the first time I sort of really noticed it, that in the north there, Jeroboam had made golden calves for them to worship. I remember that from Kings. I don't remember that from Chronicles. But one of the things that Abijah does is mocks the north by saying, "We've got real Levites. You guys have golden calves. So don't get all big and bad." The Lord allowed Abijah to win. They were outgunned, 800,000 people in the north to 400,000 people in the south. And even though they were vastly outnumbered, even though the northerners went around the back and were going to ambush them, attacking them both from the front and from the back, nonetheless, because the people of Judah had relied on the Lord, they were allowed to win. Again, in Chronicles, things are fair. You don't have to ask me for it. In verse 18 of chapter 13, it says, "The people of Judah were victorious because they relied on the Lord, the God of their ancestors." The people of Judah were victorious because they relied on the Lord. Correlation is causation in this particular case. Abijah had too many wives, 14 wives. He wasn't supposed to do that. Asa became king of Judah in chapter 14. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Now, one of the things you might have noticed is we're not and we won't get in Chronicles a whole lot of information about the kings in the north. Remember in the first and second Kings, we kind of ping-pong back and forth in a way that's kind of hard to keep up with sometimes. Ping-pong back and forth between the north and the south and who the kings are and what they're up to. Chronicles doesn't care about the north. Why don't they care about the north? The north is gone, man. North is destroyed. After the exile, north is destroyed. That's not part of what they're worried about there. So this is just about the kings of Judah. And Asa was a fairly good one. And he engaged in reforms in chapter 15. He removed idols and did all those kind of things. It also says, Chronicles says, in a way that that the other books that Kings doesn't. But Chronicles has this interesting comment that when Asa wants to have everybody do a covenant again, he says he assembles Judah and Benjamin. All right, those are the southern tribes. And the people from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon who had settled among them, for large numbers had come over to him from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Which is to say, the chronicler is saying there are a whole bunch of people in the north who are like, this Jeroboam guy's nutso. We don't want to be around him and his fake priest. So they left the north and went to the south. Something we hear in Chronicles that they don't that we don't hear about in Kings. Asa, this is kind of peak good Asa. They got together, all of them got together, and they like redid a covenant, entered into a covenant with the Lord, that they would follow the Lord, and they rejoiced about it. Asa isn't perfect. The 16th chapter of 2 Chronicles gives some of the more parts of Asa, but the chronicler is careful to say, although he did not remove the high places from Israel, Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord all his life. So just remember that later on when things go a little wonky, as they do in chapter 16. In the 36th year of Asa's reign, so he's a veteran. He's been there for 36 years, and it looks like he gets a little lazy. He gets a little less pious, less faithful, less sort of disciplined in his religiosity. And he hears that people from the north are gonna come fight against him and stuff. So instead of going to the Lord instead of going to God and saying, what should I do? Should I go out with my army? Should I not? Instead, he takes gold and silver out of the temple, out of the Lord's treasury in the temple, out of the treasury in the Lord's temple. And he sent it to Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus. Say, he took gold that belonged to the Lord, and he sent it to Aram in order to engage in some international intrigue and diplomacy and stuff, rather than going directly to the Lord. And for that, he was punished. The prophet comes to him, a prophet we haven't seen before, Hanani said, because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. You have done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war. And here's Asa's bottom. This is how he hits the basement. Asa was angry with the seer because of this. He was so enraged that he put him in prison. Asa becomes the first person in the Bible, in the Hebrew scriptures, to assault a prophet. Prophets have been ignored up to this point on occasion, but they had not been sort of physically punished until Asa. So Asa is one who did some good, and then things went kind of downhill, and it just makes you think, like, maybe if he hadn't had all that rest, he would have maintained his zeal for the Lord, but he didn't. So onwards we go with the kings. I mean, I have to say, I'm looking, we're not quite halfway through the second book of Chronicles, and I'm just thinking, oh, I know we have all these kings to go, but hang in there. We'll get to it. We'll get through it, and we'll see what comes. So, let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, amen. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow. We'll pick up with Jehoshaphat.